Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, let me help you get into the mood, and this will set up the topic for today's show, which is an annual conversation we do here on the Steve Noble Show. Merry Christmas to you and yours. And today we're going to be talking about the big guy in red. So if you have some little bambinos around, this might not be the best time to have them be a part of the audience. So there's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man kind of warning that you know who is going to be the topic of conversation today. But in order to kick that off, let's set the proper mood. Let's set the proper tone. I still love this song. I hope you do as well.
How can they talk about Santa Claus when there's so much unhappiness in the world?
Poor misguided folks. They missed the whole point.
I love this.
Lots of unhappiness? Maybe so. But doesn't Santa take a little bit of that unhappiness away?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't a smile on Christmas morning scratch out a tear cried on a Saturday? Not much, maybe. But what would happen if we all tried to be like Santa and learned to give as only he can give?
What's
of ourselves, our talents, our love, and our hearts. Maybe if we could all learn Santa's beautiful lesson.
Nothing wrong with that.
Maybe there would finally be peace on earth and goodwill toward man.
Be more like Santa.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I tell you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping.
Okay, I'm pretty sure you guys know the rest of it. I know you know how it goes. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Our annual once-a-year conversation on Santa Claus, to put it bluntly, this year. I usually kind of massage this a little bit, and I'm a little more nuanced. Not really in a nuancing kind of mood today. I'm in a good mood, and I'll mention that here in a second. But do you think doing the Santa Claus thing is a sin? I'm just putting that in as simple a term as I can. I'm not interested in getting in a fight with you on the air. I would love for you to call in, explain what you do in your family with the Santa Claus thing. And maybe you've gone through a Santa evolution like I did with my family several years ago, which at the time wasn't super popular with our oldest, who's now 24. But at the time, Hayden was like 10. And I just came under the conviction that continuing to perpetrate the falsehood that is the way we most of us play Santa Claus. I'm not talking about St. Nicholas, who is a real person, and I'll share some of that information before we're done with the hour today. I'm talking about playing the game of the Santa Claus game. He's going to come on Christmas Eve overnight. He's going to slip down through the chimney, through the exterior heating apparatus, whatever it is you have at your house. And then he's going to bring all kinds of presents for the little good girls and boys. And where do you draw that line? I don't know. That's Santa Claus's deal. And then I just became under the conviction that I was just lying to my kids. Talked about it with my wife. She was like, yeah, I mean, we were growing in our faith, and we just came under that conviction that we were lying. It was fun. It seemed innocent. But a lie is a lie is a lie. God hates lying lips. And so that December, we just put an end to it. And so we told our 10-year-old, who promptly went into the backyard and cried at the swing set for a little while, but he survived, and he's grown into an exceptional young man. So he's okay. So that's my question for you. What's the deal with Santa Claus? Do you think doing the Santa Claus thing with your kids is a sin? Or is it not? Is it just good, clean, healthy fun? No big deal. Lighten up, Steve. Get over it. I've got a few different articles here. And then definitely before we finish the show, probably in the fourth segment, I found a great article, a little more information than I'm used to finding about actual St. Nicholas himself. So I want to get to that because that's quite an inspiring story for all of us. But wanted to open up the phones to you today for our annual Santa Claus conversation. Is doing the Santa Claus thing a sin? What would the sin be? The sin would quite simply be lying. So that's my question for you. And if you still do it, again, I'm not going to, you know, get my tassels, my really long tassels and my really wide phylacteries and start beating you into the ground because I disagree with you. I have no interest in doing that, especially on the air. I wouldn't do it in person either. But I'm curious to see, what do you do with the Santa Claus thing? How do we apply a biblical worldview to Santa Claus? 866-348-7884. Would love to hear from you. And maybe you've done some changing in the Santa. You did it. Now you don't. What kind of flack do you get from your family? Every year we usually have somebody call in. 866-348-7884. That takes some grief from their family. We got some of that from some members of my family when we decided we were done with the Santa thing and we were, you know, ruining all the kids' Christmas time and then there's nothing else going on. And so we just kind of ruined the whole thing. But is that really what it's all about? Why Santa Claus belongs in your Christmas? That was a guest blogger in Christianity Today, John Piper, Pastor John Piper. No, don't do the Santa Claus thing. Another article, a blog from some folks that changed their mind. But my question for you is, what do you do with Santa Claus thing? And quite generally and frankly, is doing the Santa Claus thing, is it just an outright lie? Which means it's a sin. You tell your kids he's coming. He's bringing him presents, and he's going to make it all the way around the world. Is that a sin, or is it not, because it's just good, clean fun? 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884, or 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think of the whole Santa Claus thing as a Christian? Let's go to Patrice, who's calling in from Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Patrice, Merry Christmas. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. We don't do Santa Claus, probably a couple of years, my goodness, it's been longer than that. Anyways, probably 10 years ago, we stopped. My daughter is 20 now. So, when I kind of discovered the things that are lying behind the Christmas holiday, the origins of different things, it was like I felt like a light had been turned on, because as a child, it's taught to you almost like it's gospel.
Yeah.
And that is truth. And so even as an adult, I just continue the traditions, and I don't know how, but I took a step back from it, and I got more problems from taking a step back from doing the traditions from Christians than from anyone else. And it's very odd to me that this holiday is so defended by Christians when really the Lord told us what to do in remembrance of him, and those things that he told us to do in remembrance of him, I don't see us shouting from the rooftop. But
this
is actually not for us.
Got it.
So
I'm up against the break. Yeah, Patrice, thank you so much for calling. I got it. All right, thanks for calling. I'm up against the break. Thanks. Thanks for being our first caller. I appreciate that. Talking about Santa Claus, sin or saint, what's the deal? How do you handle it? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for?
Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Merry Christmas to you and your family. T-minus 12 days till Christmas Day. And I appreciated Patrice calling in earlier, just talking about the guy in red and white. So if you have some younger members of your family that are gathered around the old radio machine there in the house, today might not be the greatest day for you to have them be a part of the show, because we're talking about the big guy in red, and you can probably guess which direction we're coming at it from. And again, I'm not here to attack you or your family, your tradition, the way you do Christmas. Just trying to apply a biblical worldview to the question of Santa Claus and should we be doing it. And every pastor is awesome. And Dr. Dobson, Focus on the Family, if you're old enough, you know all about Dr. Dobson. He was kind of a hero of the faith for a while, still is for a lot of people. A wise, great man, done so many great things. But he took the position that, hey, doing the Santa Claus thing, it's just fantasy. It's like playing Batman or Superman when you're a kid, no big deal. Except I disagree with that, because that would be like telling your kid, well, there's Superman is actually real. There's a real Superman. There's a real Batman. No, that's not fantasy. That's just lying. Fantasy is I'm going to pretend to be a fictional character, right? That's fantasy. I'm Superman. You put your little cape on and jump off the couch. That's fantasy. Telling your kids there is a Superman is a different thing, right? So do we apply that to Santa Claus? Is that the way we should approach Santa Claus? 866-348-7884. And maybe you changed. You changed it up like we did in my family, and we got some grief from various people because we decided to dump the Santa Claus thing. And we have some Santa Claus things around because there's a tradition there. And it points back to St. Nicholas, who is a great witness for Christ and the things of Christ. So I'll get to that by the end of the show. But would be curious about how you look at Santa Claus. Do you think it's a sin or do you think it's just fine? Just some clean, simple little fun, Steve. Lighten up. Don't be such a Pharisee. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Again, just a reminder, I have no interest in beating you up on the air or trying to be Mr. King of the debate team and trash you on the air. I have no interest in that. Our witness as followers of Jesus Christ is far more valuable in the public than is our ability to win an argument. So if you don't agree with me and you do the Santa thing, I'll just ask you why. And do you ever have a issue with that? Because I think you probably know you're misleading. And maybe you don't. Maybe you think it's just simple fun. Whatever you think, willing to have you on the air today. Would love to hear your opinion. 866-34-TRUTH, as always. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mason, who's calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Mason, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Steve, Mason Weaver here, buddy. Been a long
Mason
time.
Mason Weaver, got you. Your message, bro. Thanks for that. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Great to hear your voice.
Hey, we do not celebrate anything but the birth of Christ because it's not about gift giving. It's about the gift given.
Amen.
And I homeschool my children, and we use this opportunity to sit down and discuss why he was born, why he had to be born, and why we should be grateful for that birth.
Did you ever, Mason, when you grew growing up as a little kid, did your family, when you grew up, did you ever do the Santa Claus thing?
Yes, it was very confusing for me because I was raised in a parsonage of the church, and my grandfather was the pastor. I lived in his home with his family, and we're in church doing the celebrations and the manger scene and doing the plays, and then we go home and talk about this big old fat dude in a red suit coming down the chimney. And I didn't understand because we didn't have a chimney. I didn't understand. And it took me just a few years, maybe 5 or 6 years old, to realize that my parents were buying the toys. So why did it have to be good for some stranger to reward me?
Yeah.
And it just, it was a little confusing at my earlier preteen years because I had learned by that time that the Easter Bunny was fake.
Yep.
The Tooth Fairy was fake. Maybe this Jesus guy is fake because everything was fake and phony. And Jesus had the same qualification. He did miracles. He walked on water. He gave you gifts. So it was very confusing for me as a child for a short period of my time because the church played the world.
Sure.
They played their faith. And it's very confusing. So we decided as an adult, when I got married, that we're going to raise our kids in the truth.
Yeah. Well, that is the basis of the faith. That's why Jesus came to testify to the truth. And it seems to me that baton's been passed to every one of his followers, you and myself included. Mason, it's great hearing from you. Hey, man, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for the call yesterday. I'll follow up on Monday, and I look forward to talking to you and seeing you soon.
Take care, buddy.
God bless you. Talk to you later. Merry Christmas. Great point. And it could be confusing to kids, right? Let's go to Nancy. He's calling in from Winston-Salem. Oh, lost Nancy, so we're going to move on. Merry Christmas, Nancy. Sorry you couldn't stay on the line for long. But we appreciate you calling. Let's go to Laura's calling in from right here in my backyard. Now Laura's gone to Bah Humbug, everybody. Be patient. 7, 8, 9 minutes. Okay, everybody, chill out. Relax. Merry Christmas. 866-348-7884. Is it a sin to do the Santa thing? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Wade calling in here in North Carolina. Wade, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Merry Christmas. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm for the Santa Claus, but what you can do is also tie it back to St. Nicholas, because where the giving and like the chimney thing and everything came from was that in parts of Turkey and also in Greece, he was Greek from a wealthy family, and his parents passed at a young age. So he basically gave away his wealth, and mainly how we got the Santa Claus situations getting started was, this is during the Roman Empire, if you were a poor family and you had a daughter, you had a problem because when you got your daughter married, you gave a dowry to the new young man and your daughter to start their family, basically start their home and their living and their food and sustenance and that kind of thing. So that's where that came, because he would throw dowries at night over the wall, because a lot of those had walls around the homes.
Right, right.
You would throw it over the wall.
So their daughters could get married.
So the daughters could get married and start having families, because that way you had children and grandchildren. So when they were adults, they could take care of the grandparents.
So Wade, how do you, then how do you weave the kind of story of St. Nicholas with the modern day Santa Claus and the claims of what he's doing? How do you kind of handle that in your house?
Well, how you handle it is that basically, you know, when they get a little older and you're done with the Santa Claus thing, you explain them about St. Nicholas. That's where they get Santa and Claus from, the second part of Nicholas's Claus, because when you have it in German, Saint is Sinter.
Sure.
And a nickname for Nicholas is Klaus. Sinter Klaus. Well, when you bring it over to good old America in the South, it's Santa Claus. You know, it's easier. But you tie it to the fact that he was selfless in giving to others, and that's why we should give as Christians. That's why we tithe at the church, so that the poor will be able to have money from the church pastor to minister physical and spiritual needs. So you just let it grow into it, so the kid can go, uh-huh, so it's not the Easter Bunny. It's really based on something that was real, and it's just the spirit of Christmas, so the spirit of, you know, a Catholic priest that was wealthy, that gave his wealth away to the poor during the Roman Empire and that
Let me ask you one more question, Wade, just because we're going to be up against the break here in just a second. Let me ask you one more question.
Sure.
So before that, and you kind of had that, okay, let me tell you about St. Nicholas. In your house, was the story that Santa Claus is going to come, he's going to bring you presents, is that the way you did that before you told them about St. Nicholas?
Yeah, it's because they're too young to absorb all that. You know, you can tell them that, another name for Santa Claus is St. Nicholas, and you just kind of feed that in. So then when they get a little older and somebody in the neighborhood says, my dad said it's not real, you know, and that kind of
stuff.
So
when you look back on that, when you look back on that, when I pose the question, are we deceiving our kids? Are we not telling them the truth? Are we lying to them? Do you think, would you agree with that? Yes or no? Just quick.
I don't think it's lying as long as you incorporate the St. Nicholas with Santa Claus.
All right, got it. Wade, thanks for calling in. I'm up against the break. Merry Christmas. Yep, thanks. All right, for all my 80s rock and roll fans, you know that song. Of course, love isn't always on time, but Santa Claus miraculously is. Every good kid on the planet. Well, where do you draw the line there? I don't know. But then in one night, he's going to deliver their presents to them on a sleigh with some flying reindeer. And of course, when they get into the physics of all that, you find out that's actually physically impossible. And Santa and the reindeer, including Rudolph, would all burn up because you just can't travel that fast. You literally, so then it's miraculous, blah, 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 blah. And then we're kind of adding one thing to another. And that's why we're just asking the question with some love, with some respect today. Is it a lie to play that game? To do the Santa thing. So if you have little kids around, this isn't a great day for them to be a part of the show. I understand that. And just trying to, it's not my job to come in and rearrange what's going on in your family this time of year. That's between you and the Lord. We're just having the conversation. And then we're going to jump back to that. I've got Michael in North Carolina. I've got Orlando in High Point. And I've got Elizabeth here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm going to get to you in just a second. Just wanted to acknowledge something earlier today. I finally graduated. Praise the Lord. With my master's degree in ethics, theology, and culture here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank all my professors, namely my ethics professors, Dr. Heimbach, who's the head of the program, and Dr. Lederbach and Dr. Jones, who have all sown into me, been very patient and encouraging over the years. It took about 9 years for me to finally cross this finish line. It took about 3 years for me to finally sit down and write a 50-page research paper so that I could finish. So they've all been very gracious. I love my family here at Southeastern, and Southeastern comes under attack here and there, and pretty much all of that is baseless or taken out of context. I love this seminary. I love the leadership. I love Danny Aiken, who's a great blessing on this show, Theology Thursday, which we've been doing for years. And so that's all just a huge blessing. I felt very privileged, very blessed, very honored this morning to be able to graduate with that. And just praise the Lord. Give him all the credit for giving me the ability to do it and for my four kids and my wife who are encouraging me, and especially Amelia, our 21-year-old, who's very much like me. So you can imagine that combination back in January. And praise the Lord for our kids. Because every once in a while, man, they can really help correct things if we're willing to listen. In January, said, Dad, you got to finish. You got all the classes done. You're right. You just got to get this paper knocked out, and then you'll have your master's degree, which is awesome. You got to finish. You would never let us get away with that. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And so thank you, Amelia. I love you. Thank you for that challenge and that encouragement, and my wife and all my kids all were like, come on, Dad, you can do it. And a couple false starts this year and then finally got it done. Praise the Lord for that. Just feel tremendously blessed. We'll see what God does next. Anyway, just wanted to mention that today here on Friday the 13th. But talking about Santa Claus in the fourth segment, I'm going to go through one of our callers. Thank you for that earlier. Was sharing some of the history of St. Nicholas. Something else, he accosted somebody in the name of the Lord, which is really cool. I didn't know that part of the story, so I'll get to that in the fourth segment. But taking your calls now, are we wrong? Are we lying? Are we deceiving when we do the Santa thing? How do you handle it in your family? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go to Elizabeth, who's calling in from Raleigh. Elizabeth, thank you for calling. Thank you for being on hold. Sorry to keep you there for so long. Merry Christmas. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. Merry Christmas and congratulations. That was
thank
a
you.
Lot of work.
Thank you.
So I did the Santa Claus thing with my kids, and we had our kids pretty young. So getting older, getting wiser, growing in my faith, I've come to a point that I really have a conflict with it for this reason. When your kids are little and we're trying to instill faith in them, we're telling them about Jesus. And Jesus is the Son of God that we don't really ever see him, but we love him, and he's always with us. And at the same time, we're saying Santa Claus is real, and we never get to see him, but he loves us so much. And then one day, you know, our kids find out, or we tell them, hey, guess what? Santa Claus is not real. And to me, you know, now looking back on that, it really brings up a point of trust, because now I have a child that I've told a total lie to, you know, with the best interest of heart.
Sure.
But I want them to believe in Jesus, and, you know, have I set them up to doubt their faith by doing that? So now I have grandkids, and with my daughter's permission, they're the younger kids, when they get to the point that they could possibly ever be scoffers, and definitely before they get out of elementary school, we go out for hot chocolate, and we talk about the spirit of Santa and how we're all the spirit of Santa, and that is actually giving and, you know, through our Christian worldview, being able to help others. And now that you know that, you know, it's the spirit of Santa that we all reflect, now you can be the spirit of Santa, too. And we talked about giving an anonymous gift and just carrying it on like that, which I, you know, I hope somehow help them make that transition.
Sure.
And really emphasize in that conversation that Jesus is as real as they come. But anyway, to me, that is the dichotomy that we set up by making Santa Claus, you know, the end all and be all and blood and real.
Yeah, because then we have to we set that ship a sail for years, and it's really, I mean, with little kids and presents especially, man, it's all about Santa, because he's the source of all these awesome things you're going to get on December 25th, and then we got to kind of turn that ship eventually, and have to own the fact. And the question for some people is it really a sinful kind of lie when we're well-meaning and just trying to have some fun and blah, 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 blah? There aren't any conditions on lying in the Bible. A lie is a lie is a lie.
I know, yeah.
And then we have to be willing to deal with that, and then if you have to change course, it's difficult. But I appreciate that you're taking the time and doing that with your grandkids. That's awesome.
Well, thank you for bringing this up. I think it's a good thing to talk about.
Absolutely. Thanks, Elizabeth. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas.
Take care.
Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Let's jump over to Michael calling in from North Carolina. Michael, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Merry Christmas. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. Merry Christmas. Thank you. I grew up in a home where we celebrated Santa Claus, and my wife did not. So when we had children, I have four, the oldest being nine. What we were going to do, what we decided was, is that it's alive, and even if the heart is not to deceive, is it edifying and is it necessary? Mm. If we look and we predate St. Nicholas, who everybody kind of attributes to the spirit of generosity, we can find that in Christianity, which is the reason why St. Nicholas was in the way that he was, because of Christ. So I don't think it's necessary. Now, we went the route with our boys of telling them about who St. Nicholas was and why other families use him as part of Christmas, so they don't spoil that for them. We explained, like, just, you know, so you get a lot of awkward moments when people talk about every store. You know, you believe in Santa, you're going to see Santa. They just kind of smile, and then we kind of step in and say, yeah, we don't. This is why, if given the opportunity. But I think it's a situation where you attribute a lot of things that we that are likened to our Savior with someone who is fantastical, omniscient, omnipresent. You know, these things that can make it really dangerous for a child to understand and distinguish between what is real and what is fiction.
Yeah, and I think that's a great word, and I think that's a lot of wisdom there, and especially St. Nicholas, it's not like we're emulating St. Nicholas. It makes me think of Paul. Paul's like, hey, follow me, but only as I follow Christ. We're not pointing to St. Nicholas.
Exactly.
You got to point to Jesus Christ. Where's the ultimate gift giver? It's Jesus. It's not St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas's worth is only as good as his reflection of Jesus Christ. And so why go to somebody down the line? Why not go to the source of all goodness, and that's Jesus Christ himself? That's a great point, Michael. I appreciate you calling in.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas.
All right, man. Merry Christmas to you, too. Thanks so much. Let's jump over to Orlando calling in from High Point, North Carolina. Orlando, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Well, happy holidays.
Well, there's a few of them in there.
If I say happy holidays, people right away think that I'm not a Christian.
I know. Isn't that funny? We need to lighten up a little.
It's crazy. I mean, it all deals with tradition.
Yeah, so I agree with that. So how would you apply tradition to the whole Santa Claus thing?
We are fighting a spiritual war, and people do not understand those things. Even people in the church do not understand those things. When it comes down to Christmas, Easter, it's not supposed to be Easter. It's supposed to be Passover. They change the names. They change all those things. This is a spiritual war. The churches, they celebrate Halloween. It's we have to pay attention to really what is biblical and what is not biblical, and we from there on we teach our kids.
And yeah, because
the problem
if the world's doing it, I mean, oftentimes Orlando, and I agree with your point. Oftentimes, when the world's doing it, then we're like, okay, well, we'll kind of come alongside that, and then we'll explain that we're not exactly doing what the world's doing. We're doing something a little different. And sometimes maybe it would be better for our witness just to ignore what the world's doing and just proclaim what Christ has already done.
Exactly. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a challenge.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Happy Hanukkah.
And Merry Christmas back to you. Thanks, Orlando. I always appreciate it when you call. Have a great Christmas. And happy holidays. That's all of them. So I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great Christmas. We can certainly acknowledge Hanukkah. That's a great story. And Happy New Year to you. Happy holidays, all that stuff. It always counts on the source, okay? I used to be ready to go to war with a store that says Happy Holidays and doesn't say Merry Christmas. And then God kind of woke me up one day and said, hey, Steve. Yes, Lord. What kind of fruit is going to fall off a lemon tree? Huh. Well, let me think about that. Let me pray about it. Oh, is it a lemon? Exactly. So why are you worried about a lemon tree dropping lemons? If people are lost, if they don't know Christ, if they don't get it, it's just presents, it's just fun, it's food, it's whatever. Spiritual truths are spiritually discerned. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about the big guy in red today. A couple of the little articles. One on the positive side, one on the negative side. And then I want to share with you, I found a really neat article just within the last week or so. A friend shared on Facebook from Ligonier Ministries, which is the ministry that R.C. Sproul, who's now with the Lord, started. And this was an article they put out a year ago, St. Nicholas and the Origins of Santa Claus, which had some more information out about St. Nicholas that I hadn't heard before. So I want to get to that so we all know who we're talking about on this holiday. But here was one. Here's a blogger. This is on Christianity Today. They were for it. Why Santa belongs in your kids' Christmas. I'm tired of hearing Christian parents use that Satan anagram. Saint Nick was a saint. Okay, I get that part. But what about Santa Claus? So in this blog, they say this. Santa Claus embodies Christian values such as kindness, generosity, forgiveness. Every child soon realizes that even if they have not been perfect all year, Santa comes through. But that's not what we tell them, right? We tell them, be good and you'll get stuff. Be bad and you won't. It works. Santa brings gifts to children, both deserving and undeserving. Well, they don't think like that. See, I obviously have a problem with this article. While Santa is not a Christ figure, that must be clear, the Santa myth is not the problem. The problem is that we have let advertisers hijack Santa turning Christmas into a retail event. Let me just cut to the chase. If you tell your kids that Santa Claus is coming to your house to bring them toys, you are lying. Okay? In case your kids are around. Trying to lower my voice. That's deception. Even if it's, quote unquote, just good, clean fun. Is that what it says in the Bible? God hates lying lips unless you're just having some good, clean fun. then it's okay. No, no, he hates lying. Why? Who's the father of lies? That's Satan. Who is truth? Jesus himself said it. For this reason I was born, John 17. For this reason I was born, 17, 18. And this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. Truth matters because it's in the essence of who God is. Okay? I'm going to go to this John Piper thing, who's definitely not a Santa Claus fan, but I want to give Nancy a chance to chime in here. Nancy, thank you so much for calling in today. I appreciate it. Right under the wire, a good timing, and Merry Christmas to you. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. I grew up doing Santa Claus, and we did Santa Claus with my children. And I think the way we presented it was, we never did, we saw Santa, and we said that's Santa's helpers and such like that. We never presented like a person, but yes. We tried to tie in Jesus as the head of all, not so much focus on Santa Claus. And the thing of it was, they did Santa Claus real, and my husband would say, yes, and it's me. And so that kind of confused them, but it was the truth. You know, you told them the truth. Yes, Santa Claus real, it's me.
Yeah, I'm playing Santa.
They didn't know what to do with that. They were like, okay. But then, you know, later they understood what that meant. And so we told them the truth. But then, you know, I thought about it, how it can snowball into everything else. Like, where do you draw the line on reading them fantasy books, you know, Hansel and Gretel, you know. Where do you draw the line on it? Or playing Hope Stop, Toe the Line, this secular music on Christian stations. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that you're right. I love how you put it. It's very respectable, you know, and you respect the person for their views. But it sure can hit into that space where, you know, you say, well, you know, if you judge that part, are you telling them that Cinderella's not real and that this is just for
right,
a reason?
Right.
You know, I mean, and I know that sounds really, but, you know, it's a question too. So anyway.
Yeah, I appreciate where you're coming from.
I love your show. Yeah,
thank you, Nancy. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And thanks for calling in. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye. And that's you know, you can go down the road into legalism. I talked with one of my ethics classes yesterday, high school students, about hard rock music, rap music, and music with some questionable lyrics. What about that? And I was like, well, it depends on your level of maturity. It depends on where it takes your mind. Depends on what it does to your spirit. Can I listen to some rock that's not Christian and it doesn't harm me? Doesn't take me down the wrong road? Yeah, I can do that. I have the liberty to do that. I have the freedom to do that. But is it necessarily helpful? That's what Paul was talking about. All things are allowable. You have all this freedom, but are all things profitable? And and I told him this is just the way I handle my students. I said, listen, you got to be careful what you're marinating in. Because I like to shock them so they'll remember things. I said, so how many of you like steak? All these hands go up. Okay, if you don't like steak, do you like chicken? Yeah, hands go up. Okay, let's say I take a great piece of chicken or a great piece of steak. I put it in a bucket for a month and marinate it in urine. And they all go, oh, gross. Right, exactly. Now, in a month, and I cook that steak, what's it going to taste like? Or the chicken? What's it going to taste? What's it going to smell like? What's it going to taste like? Well, it's going to taste like urine. Right, that's disgusting. Right, exactly. So what do you learn? What's the lesson? Be careful what you marinate in. Exactly. Boom. There you go. And we have to be careful about that. On the Santa thing, and again, fantasy books. Well, if you hand your kids a fantasy book and say, by the way, this happened, this is real. Well, that's obviously you're misleading them. You're lying to them. If you give them a book, hey, here's a fantasy book, which means it's fiction, but it's a really neat story. Some great lessons you can learn here. I'm not the hard and fast one that's, hey, you can't read this, can't read that, you can only read the Bible. I can teach out of just about anything, and there's lessons to be learned out of it because God's truth invades all kinds of places. But to tell them, hey, this is Lord of the Rings, this actually happened. You should read this story. It's like history. Well, obviously that's a lie. Here's John Piper on Santa Claus. He just comes right out of the gate. Jesus came at Christmas to seek and save the lost. To save sinners, to give his life as a ransom for many, not to call the righteous but sinners, to destroy the works of the devil, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. So the birth of the Son of God, the very God, very man, is simply stunning and glorious and infinitely serious, an overflow of the happy news. The angel called it good news of great joy, not small joy, not a little bit of joy, but great joy, Luke 2. It is mind-boggling to me, John Piper writes, that any Christian would even contemplate such a trade, that we would divert attention away from the incarnation of God of the universe into this world to save us and our children. Not only is Santa Claus not true, and Jesus is very truth himself, but compared to Jesus, Santa is simply pitiful, and our kids should be helped to see this. Santa Claus offers only earthly things, nothing lasting, nothing eternal. Jesus offers eternal joy with the world thrown in. The fire engine is thrown in, too. Okay, so, John Piper, why in the world would you substitute in Christmas any attention? Why would you pull any attention from Jesus? That's his point, and it's a good one. I'm sure you would agree. St. Nicholas and the Origins of Santa Claus. The legend behind Santa Claus is St. Nicholas, the 4th century Bishop of Myra. This is from Ligonier Ministries, R.C. Sproul's ministry. Nicholas was born in modern-day Turkey to a rather wealthy family, losing his parents at a young age. Nicholas dedicated both his fortune and his life to the Christian church. Very quickly, he was appointed the Bishop of Myra on the southern coast of modern-day Turkey. These were days of persecution for Christians. One of our callers mentioned this. Roman Emperor Diocletian, who reigned from 284 to 305, hated Christians and stuffed Roman jails full of them. Bishop Nicholas spent the first few years of the 4th century in jail and faced routine beatings. In the next decade, Constantine legalized Christianity and Nicholas was set free. As the legend goes, Bishop Nicholas was present at the church's first ecumenical council at Constantine's summer palace in Nicaea in 325. Hundreds of bishops gathered there, and there was this one guy, Arius, who denied Christ's deity. At one point, now this is really pretty entertaining about Nicholas. At one point, while Arius was addressing the council, he's a heretic, Nicholas's rage got the better of him. According to some of his biographers, Nicholas stood up, crossed the floor to Arius, and promptly punched him in the face. To which I say, amen. For the assault, Nicholas found himself back in jail again. After the council, Constantine granted clemency and restored Bishop Nicholas to his post. And so he was wealthy, right? Came from a wealthy family. His parents died when he was young. The year of his death is uncertain, but the month is firmly believed to be December. As the story of his generosity spread, the stories of his life grew and grew. He was becoming legendary. In the 6th century, a church was dedicated to him and named him for him in Constantinople. His image was depicted more in the Middle Ages than any other except those of Christ and Mary. No longer Bishop Nicholas, now he became Saint Nicholas, and his feast day would be December 6th. One of the legends around Nicholas concerned his giving dowries, which our caller mentioned that as well earlier, to young poor girls so they would be able to marry. To reflect that legend, images of him carrying bags bulging with gold coins began to appear. So you see how we're moving along here. As the legend moved northward, the story takes an even more interesting turn. In Germany, their tradition arose of giving gifts to each other in the name of St. Nicholas, so too in the Netherlands. The Dutch word for him became Sinterklaas. The German word eventually became Santa Claus. These celebrations of gift-giving occurred on December 6th, the anniversary of his death. The gift of a gold coin was highly prized and showed great favor. Even Martin Luther would come to play a role in the legend. Luther wanted a Protestant alternative to the Roman Catholic practice of celebrating the Feast of St. Nicholas. Instead of giving gifts in the name of Santa Claus on December 6th, Luther started the tradition of giving gifts in the name of the Christ child, Christ Kindle, on Christmas Eve. Perhaps in this, we have an argument for Protestant kids everywhere as to why they should be allowed to open at least one present on Christmas Eve. That's funny. Luther loved Christmas. He wanted it to be a celebration of giving around the supreme gift of the babe born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. As he preached in 1530, quote, "He who lies in the Virgin's lap is our Savior. Give thanks to God, who so loved you that he gave you a Savior," unquote. Christmas evolved from the word Christ Mass, the celebration of the incarnation of Christ, fixed by tradition as being on December 25th. The word Luther coined, Christ Kindle, also evolved over the centuries. It would become Santa Claus's other name, you guessed it, Kris Kringle. This effort of Luther's to move away from the Santa Claus tradition inadvertently veered right towards it. Typical mankind. So we have the story of Santa Claus. Interestingly enough, St. Nicholas and his legend began in the early church. The stories wove their way through the Middle Ages, and they even made an appearance at the Reformation. Those stories still live with us today. Be honest, tell the truth. Christ is enough. Christ is better. Christ is over. And shouldn't that be enough for us this month? I don't know where you're at. It's not my business to come in and deal with your family's handling of the big guy in red. But God is truth. Jesus is all about truth. Came to testify to the truth. Seems to me that we should be on track to do the exact same thing. All right, I love you guys. Merry Christmas. Have an awesome weekend. God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.